Hi everyone, listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 151 for December 5th, 2010. In this podcast, Pastor Archie will be talking about the topic of forgiveness on it, this week's sermon titled The Freedom of Forgiveness. Enjoy.
Oh, the Lord is good. Amen. Well, just one verse, Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father, as we look into your word again, pray, Lord, for your anointing and blessing upon us, upon your people. Father, we pray for your anointing. We recognize, oh God, that we're totally dependent upon you. And Lord, without your Holy Spirit, we are nothing, oh God. But Lord, I pray that you would just touch our hearts this morning. Change our lives, oh God. Convict us, oh God, where we have fallen, oh God. And restore us to you. And restore us towards one another. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. God bless you. Well, the title of our message this morning is The Freedom of Forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Now, an evangelist of yesteryear said this: there is one sin that Christians have more difficulty than any other. That is one sin that is holding back the power of God more than any other sin in the life of a Christian. It is the sin of an unforgiving spirit. You agree with that? I agree with that. So we're talking today about the subject of forgiveness. As our text says, and the Lord told us how to pray. He says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, when you forgive, you set a prisoner free. You know that? And you will find that that prisoner is not somebody else but you. That is why the title of this message is The Freedom of Forgiveness. Now, there are two great enemies of the human soul and the human spirit. And one enemy is guilt, and the other enemy is bitterness. Guilt and bitterness. So many people in the world today are absolutely down into the ground, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and physically, because of guilt and bitterness. They are kept in a prison called guilt, and a prison called bitterness. Now, the verse of the scriptures we are dealing with today deals with these two things. It deals with guilt. That's why the prayer is, forgive us our debts. And it deals with bitterness as we forgive our debtors. Isn't it? So when we are forgiven, we are set free from the prison of guilt. But when we forgive others, we are set free from the prison of bitterness. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there are few forms of dissipation that would do more damage into your heart, into your soul, than these two things: dissipation caused by guilt and bitterness. Now, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, to me and to you, is the gift of forgiveness. You see, the Bible calls sin a debt, utang. Look at verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts. Our sins have put us in debt to God, right? our Creator. He has created us to love Him and to serve Him, but we have not done it. So we've been brought to the court of heaven and have been sued for damages, and we cannot pay the damage. And we were cast in a prison because of our debts. And the only way that we can be set free from that debt is what? Forgiveness. And not only that, my friend, that when God has forgiven us, then also we must forgive others. You see, when you forgive anybody, you cancel the debt. That is what forgiveness is all about. Sin is a debt, and forgiveness is the canceling of the debt. Now, actually, the word forgive means to bear the burden. Means to bear the burden. So if you owe me $1,000 and you have nothing to pay, and you could not pay, what happens? And you then say, then I say to you, I forgive your debt. What does it mean? It cost me $1,000. $1,000. So sin is a debt, and when the debt is forgiven, the forgiver is the one who pays. Now, salvation is free. That's what we know about it, right? That's what the Bible says. It's free for us, but it cost the Lord Jesus Christ. It cost His life. That's why Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So our salvation cost the Lord Jesus Christ His blood and His life. The Lord Jesus paid through grace out of His riches for my forgiveness. Through His grace. That's why the reason we say grace, or G-R-A-C-E, is God's riches at Christ's expense. That is the definition of grace. And that is how you and I are forgiven, by His grace. We sang that song, by His grace we can enter into Him today. So now God does not overlook your sin. God does not overlook my sin. God Himself paid the debt for our sin. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sin by what? By His blood. And by His life. Because He does not overlook our sin. Somebody must pay, and He paid the price for our sin. So forgiveness is the paying of a debt that another cannot pay. But when God forgives me and when God forgives you, then we have a responsibility to also forgive others. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord, explains it further in Matthew 6, 14 to 15, when He says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if I withhold forgiveness to someone else after I have been forgiven, then I shut off, I dam up the stream of God's forgiveness. The stream stops until I'm willing to forgive others, those who have sinned against me. Amen. Now, that's my introduction. Now, I would like to mention three things about forgiveness. Number one, the compelling reasons for forgiveness. Number two, the costly requirements for forgiveness. And number three, the certain results of forgiveness. Number one, the compelling reasons for forgiveness. So if somebody has done you wrong, and all of us has been offended, right? It could be your parents. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be your boss. It could be an employee. It could be a brother or sister. It could be a neighbor, someone. Somebody has done you wrongs. You ask the question, why should I forgive? Why should I forgive them? They have hurt me so much. There are four compelling reasons why we should forgive. Four very important reasons why we should forgive. Number one, the grace factor. You should forgive because you have been forgiven. You should forgive because you have been forgiven. You should forgive because God has so willingly forgiven you. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, God, forgave you. God has forgiven you. God has shown his grace to you. Then you must show grace to other people. God has been good to you. God has been so gracious to you. Then you must show grace and forgiveness to those who have offended you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Grace factor. It's by the grace of God that has forgiven us. And if God has shown us grace and mercy, we should also show grace and mercy to other people. Amen. Number two, guilt factor. That means if we don't forgive, no longer can we be forgiven. We should be forgiving because unforgiveness shuts out the forgiveness of God to us. Again, what does Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 says? If you don't forgive, your heavenly Father also will not forgive you. So an unforgiving spirit is an unforgivable sin. You see that? And the person who will not forgive destroys the bridge in which he must travel. So have you ever thought of this prayer, how dangerous it is? Because when you say, God, you're saying, when you say that, you're saying to God, God, treat me as I treat other people. Forgive me as I forgive others. So do you forgive others? If you don't forgive others, you're asking God to deal with you the same way. Well, you say, I forgive her, but I don't want to have anything anymore to do with her. Have you ever said that? Well, if you say that, then God says to you, all right, I forgive you, but I don't want to do anything anymore with you. Right? Because you are telling God, Lord, treat me as I treat others. Huh? Oh, you say, well, I forgive, but I can't forget. Have you said that before? So God says to you, I forgive, but I will not forget. You like that? Is that what you want? No. So if you forgive others, God will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, you shut off the what? Flow of God's forgiveness to you when you sin. So why should we forgive? The grace factor. You have received God's forgiveness and grace. Why should you forgive? The guilt factor. If you don't forgive, your sin, your guilt will remain. That's dangerous. All right, number three. The grief factor. Grief factor. What is that grief factor? You should forgive because if you don't, You will have personal harm and grief that will come to you. An unforgiving spirit keeps you in prison. It keeps you in bondage. Well, our sense of justice cries out, I will not let them get by with this. I will keep them in the hook. Well, they are not only the one kept on the hook. You yourself, by your unforgiving spirit, are hooked with them. So why should you forgive others? Number one, forgive them for Jesus' sake. For the sake of Jesus, our Lord. That's what the Bible says. God, for Christ's sake, forgive you. Can you not, for Christ's sake, forgive them? Amen. Secondly, not only for Christ's sake, but for their sake. You see, forgiveness is not giving to a person what they deserve. That is justice. But what they need. What do they need? Forgiveness. They don't need justice. They need your forgiveness. So forgiveness is giving them what they need. And thirdly, for your sake. For my sake. Because an unforgiving spirit and bitterness will keep you in prison, in bondage of your own making. Can you say, ouch? Woe is me? But when you release them off the hook, all right, but when you don't release them out of the hook, all right, you stay in the hook with them. Now, the other thing that people say is that, well, I just want to get even. Have you ever thought of that? I want to get even. Will you really get even when you say that? No. Because here you are up there in relationship with God, blessed by the Lord, and the person who offended you is down here, and they have done you wrong. You want to get even? Are you really? No, because you are bringing down yourself to their level. But when you forgive, you bring that person to your level. Now, the three responses, somebody say that the three responses that we make when other people, what other people do to us, all right? Number one is the heavenly or godly level, or heavenly or godly response, which means that if someone does you wrong, you do them good. That is the godly response. That is the heavenly response. That's what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 12, it says, repay no evil for evil. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire. And he said, do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can you say amen? And that's the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 45. It says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So if you are willing to forgive, that's one of the mark of a child of God. Amen? Amen. Secondly, there is the human level. And what is the human level? It's a reciprocal relationship. I love you because you love me. If you scratch my back, I will scratch your back. It's a reciprocal level. But there is a third level, which is the demonic level or satanic level, all right? Because when you do something good, to others, how they will they repay you? They will repay you by what? Doing you bad, trying to harm you, they still hate you, right? That's what the devil does. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if you want to get even, you are really going down to that demonic level, if you're saying that, right? You're not acting as a child of God, but you're acting like a child of the devil. If you want to get even. Now, another harm, another grief that comes to you is that when you're not willing to forgive and you say, I will not only get even, I will continue to hate that person. You know what you're doing? You're taking in poison in your life. Because bitterness is a poison if you continue to hate. And bitterness is an acid that destroys its container. And you're committing a slow suicide if you do that. But praise God, there's a gain factor. Amen? Amen. That's the wonderful reason. Another wonderful reason to forgive. Amen. Not only do you lose the thing that wounded you, you let them go, you release them, but at the same time, you gain your brother. You gain a person. And that person who has been wounded is either your brother or a sister or a potentially your brother or your sister. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 18:15. The Lord Jesus says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. And a brother is a precious thing. A sister is a precious thing. Now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23-24, Jesus also said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, God is saying here that if you do not reconcile with your brother or sister, God will not accept your offering. God will not accept your worship. God will not answer your prayer. So first, be reconciled. Otherwise, God will not accept your worship, your prayer, and your offering to Him. But when you forgive another, you gain a brother or a sister. Amen? And how sad when a brother and sister fail to forgive. Now, what are the results? What are the results of an unforgiving spirit? What are the results? Number one, it disgraces the Father. It disgraces God. You are dishonoring God. So when my children are fighting, all right, and they don't love one another, what is the reflection of? Reflection of me. It disgraces me. So in the same way, when we're fighting against one another, we're disgracing God. We're disgracing our Father. Number two, it discourages the saints. There are a few things that hurt a church, a fellowship, worse than unforgiving spirit. It destroys a fellowship. It destroys a church. It destroys a family. Number three, it also disgusts the lost. The lost. And say people are quick to see when there is a rift in a family, a rift in a fellowship, a rift for a church. They're quick to point out, and many of them are turned off by our testimony, by the gospel of Christ, because of the sin of our forgiveness in our hearts. Amen? And our lives. So what does it do? It disgraces the Father. It discourages the fellowship. It disgusts the lost and unsaved. But then it also delights the devil. The devil is jumping and happy when we are fighting and bickering against one another. You know what the devil wants to do? He would rather plant a gossip in your mouth rather than bringing a lot of alcohol here. Because it's that gossip that will destroy the church. Amen? So it delights the devil. The devil, more than any else, loves to see brothers and sisters with an unforgiving spirit. He wants to see us fighting against one another, bickering once against one another. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But he also says this, God hates those who sows discord among brothers. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. Now, how about an unbeliever? You say, Pastor Archie, the person who offended me is not a brother, he's not a sister, but he is an unbeliever. Then he is all the more an object of your pity. Because if he is an unbeliever, not only has he done wrong, he is blind. He is blind. And if he does not, because he does not have the grace and the power that you have as a believer. So if it's a brother, you are of the same body. And if you harm him, you're harming yourself. Because you belong to the same body, right? And he's the object of your love. Now, if he is not your brother, he is lost, right? And he's on his way to hell. And you don't want to drive him the way to hell, don't you? Right? But you really want to bring him back to the Lord. He needs more of your love if he's an unbeliever. So what I'm saying is, we have a gain factor. We have everything to gain, nothing to lose by forgiving someone else. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You see, the person you ought to forgive is more than a person who has hurt you. He's a person who needs you. And grace is not giving people what they deserve. It is giving to people what they need. That was grace all about. They need your forgiveness. They need your love. That's why these are the four compelling reasons why we should forgive. Now, number two. The costly requirements for forgiveness. So when I talk about forgiving someone else, I'm talking about something that is extremely costly. Remember what I said earlier? Someone pays. Forgiveness is canceling a debt. So when you forgive the debtors, you are paying up. You are the one paying. Of course, the model for forgiveness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember again what Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That is the model. You take that as a model, how you get forgiven, and that is the way you forgive. The kind of praise that has been paid is the kind of praise that you ought to pay. Therefore, how do you forgive? Number one, you are to forgive freely. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely you give. Now, some people want to forgive after they have collected their revenge. You know that? They have been wronged, so they want to let the other person know they have been wronged, they have been badly hurt, so what they do? They criticize that person, they castigate that person, they scold that person, they roast them. They pummel them, excoriate them. Then finally, after they've extracted their pawn of flesh of revenge, then they say, okay, I'll forgive you now. Well, the forgiver says, never mind, I have already paid. So you are to forgive freely, not after you have extracted your revenge. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, because you are to forgive freely, then you are supposed to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Be in a hurry to forgive. Whereas the Bible says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Ephesians 4:31. If you are not quick to forgive, that bitterness will linger in your heart, and it becomes an infection, a sore, an abscess, or a cancer, and it will be difficult to heal. That's why don't wait. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, while they were crucifying him and mocking him, what was he praying? Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. So because we're too quick to forgive, you seek out that person who have offended you. Amen? You say, well, he's the one who offended me. Let him come to me first. If he wants forgiveness, then let him come to and ask for it. Is that what the Bible says? No. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15 again? He said, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. And Matthew 5:24, Jesus said again, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. So whether you are in the right side, all right, or whether you are in the wrong, whether you have something against your brother or your brother has something against you, you are the first to take the initiative. You go to that person first, and that's how God also has done for us. That's what the Bible says. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, God has what? Saved us. He has come and bore our sins on the cross. Is not that what God done for Adam and Eve in the garden? Adam and Eve went hiding because they were afraid of God, and God went into the garden and he cried, Adam, where are you? That wasn't the cry of a detective, that was the cry, the voice of a broken-hearted God. He took the initiative. So when you forgive freely, because freely you have received and freely you give. Amen. Secondly, you have to forgive fully. You know what pride does many times? You say, oh, don't worry about it. It's all right. It doesn't matter. That is not forgiveness. You know what causes you to say that? It's your pride. Your stinking pride. It did matter. You were hurt. But you know what? To let them know that you have been hurt. So when you say it's all right, doesn't matter, you have not really forgiven that person fully as you ought. Forgiveness is not politeness, making it light as it does not matter. When you come to God for forgiveness, he does not say, well, don't worry about it. Forget it. No. God doesn't say that. He wants you to repent because you've offended him. So forgetting is not merely accepting an apology or thereby merely forgetting, or forgiveness is not merely accepting an apology or merely forgetting. Forgetting is not the means for forgiveness. It is the result of forgiveness. God remembers our trespasses no more only because they've been forgiven. Amen. So when you forgive, forgive freely, forgive fully. And thirdly, you forgive what? Finally. It means that when you forgive, it is buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. it is to never to be brought up again. Amen. The problem with us is you keep reminding yourself of what the other person has done to you 30 years ago. Kasi ikaw ay ginawa mo sa akin to. Huh? You keep reminding yourself. You keep bringing it up. When God forgives, He forgets. That's what the Bible says, Jeremiah 31, verse 34. It says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." What does it mean? Does that mean that God intellectually cannot recall your sin? No, God can never learn or forgets anything in that realm. He knows everything and always knows everything. And if he forgets in that sense, he could not remember. He's not omniscient. But what the Bible is saying is that when God forgets our sin, it means that he says in the Bible, he says he remembers them no more against us. He has no more grudge against us. He does not hold hostility against us anymore. So when you forgive and forget those who have done you wrong, it does not mean that your mind goes blank. No. It means that you don't remember against them anymore. Amen? So it costs to forgive freely, it costs to forgive fully, and it costs to forgive finally. And probably the biggest test that you have really, truly forgiven somebody is whether you keep bringing it up again. You are resurrecting that sin. If you are keep resurrecting that sin, facing it out, you haven't really forgiven. Amen? I heard of a businessman who had everything filed in his office. He was very meticulous about keeping records of everything. His secretary said to him, "Sir, we need to clean up these files. These files are so loaded. We need to take out some of them and shred them. How about us cleaning up these files?" He said, "Well, I guess you're right. We cannot keep saving all of them. You go ahead and clean up the files, but before you do that, make a copy of everything." That's what we do. We say we are going to clean up the files of our mind. But somehow we do not truly forget in the sense that God wants us to forget. When God forgives me first, He does something for me. And what is that? He forgives my sins. But He also does something through me. He teaches me to forgive others. Amen? So forgiveness, it costs extremely to forgive. It costs Jesus. But Jesus paid the price. Why? Because the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." So he's telling us, Jesus is telling us, it is worth it all that I went to the cross for you to save your soul. To save me, to save you. Well, you say, "All right, Pastor, that was Jesus. But me is different." I don't know what it takes to forgive. If you only knew what my husband did. We lost everything we have, and now he's running around with this another woman. You don't know what my boss did for me. And you start up there and you say, "Forgive, forgive, forgive." You're right. You're right. You can't. Without the power of Jesus in your life, you can't. Amen? But with God, you can. With Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, the Holy Spirit power is in you to be able to forgive that person. Let me show you how to forgive. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. It says here, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It does not say, work for your salvation. It doesn't say that. But it said, work out your salvation. You cannot be saved by working for it. It is by grace, the Bible said, that you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 9. How do I do it? It is God who works in you, both to will and to do. So don't say, I can't, because it is God who is doing it in you. God does two things in you. Number one, he gives you the desire to will. He gives you the desire to forgive. Amen? And not only that, he gives you the dynamic, the power to do, to forgive. When you say, God, I cannot forgive them, my sense of justice cries out, justice, revenge. But don't you remember that God is also just? Huh? He does not overlook sin. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 12, verse 19? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And God will do a better job than you do in justice and in what? Vengeance. He will do a better job because he will judge, revenge you fairly, justly. You know why the Bible says an eye for a tie, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Because if you are the one who will revenge and not God, you will not only take out the eye, you got to cut off the head. Right? So God, leave it to God. God is a better way of avenging you. Amen? Because he is just and righteous. So turn it over to God and begin to work out your salvation by what? Forgiving that person who has hurt you and offended you. So say to God, God, help me to love that person. Love that person through me. And when you do that, the supernatural power of God's love will just flow out of you. Amen. To that other person. Amen. Amen. That's what the Spirit, Holy Spirit does, because the gift of the Holy Spirit is love. Now, we have a proverb that we say all the time, which I believe is biblical. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. Amen. I remember of Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if you have heard about Corrie ten Boom, but Corrie ten Boom was a young lady who belonged to a what? Dutch family in Holland or Netherlands. And during World War II, her family hid some Jews. And finally, they were discovered. The family was arrested. Corrie ten Boom and her sister were carried away to a concentration camp. They were brutalized by the prison guards. So often they were stripped naked. They were humiliated. They were deloused. Her sister died, but later she survived. She came to America. She became a raging Christian. One day she was lecturing on forgiveness. At the close of the service, a person came forward with a smile on his face. She looked at him. And as she looked at him, she remembered that face indelibly chiseled in her memory, the face of the most cruel, wicked, and obscene of those guards. He was on a Christian service. He came to her with a smile on his face. He said, Corrie, I want you to forgive me. And he put out his hand. And Corrie ten Boom said this, I froze. A chill went all over my body when I saw that man whose face is the very mirror of evil. And I did not know. I know I did not. I didn't want to forgive him. She said, so he breathed a prayer. She said, I breathed a prayer. Oh God, help me to forgive. So as an act of obedience, I put my hand. And when his hand touched me, liquid love began to flow through me. I found out God's grace is sufficient, and I forgave him. It's amazing. Was it Corrie ten Boom who forgave that man? No, it was God. It was God who gave her the ability working in her life both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's God's pleasure for us to forgive those who have hurt us. Amen. It is God's pleasure to forgive those who have offended us. And obviously that person, the prison guard, repented of her sin and gave his life to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now you say, Pastor Archie, how about the unrepentant? That is a question that we have to deal with. What about those who continue to sin against me? What about people who are still living in sin? Are we just to forgive them while they are stabbing us, while they are kicking us, while they are stealing from us? Are we to keep forgiving them? Well, the Bible says, no. No. What is forgiveness? There are times when people refuse forgiveness. Because in order to forgive, there must be repentance. Right? God does not forgive without repentance. Neither can you forgive someone else without repentance. There's a lot of soft thinking about this, but Luke 17, verse 3 to 4, give us a clearance in this matter. Luke 17, 3 to 4, Jesus is talking to you and to me, and Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. So how do you rebuke him? Not to scold him, but to go to him and tell him he has done you something wrong. And then he says, if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Talks about unlimited forgiveness over here. It's very clear here, very important, that God does not forgive unless you repent. And you cannot forgive unless the other person does not repent. So what if they refuse repentance? What if they see no need for forgiveness? What do? Do exactly what God has done. You forgive them in your heart. Amen? You store up forgiveness in your heart for them. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every man, those who repented and those who did not repent. He died for everybody in Calvary. But in Calvary, in the heart of God, that forgiveness is potentially there, ready to be received when that person repents. Amen. So for the brother who will not repent, the sister who sees no need of forgiveness is still in your heart. It must be there, is stored up, ready to forgive when they receive that forgiveness. Amen? But you can forgive them without repentance. But your forgiveness is already there, ready to be given to that person. Amen? And number three, lastly, what are the results of forgiveness? What are the results? There are three wonderful results. Number one, they'll be released. You will set a prisoner free and you find out that that prisoner is you. Amen. God will set you free and you are no longer will bear the burden of an unforgiving spirit that is destroying your soul. You are free. You are released from the torment of prison called bitterness, unforgiveness. Number two, there'll be reconciliation. Wonderful. If he receives that forgiveness, there'll be reconciliation. A brother is a very precious thing. That's why the Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When you come to church and you feel the love of God among brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful feeling. Amen. Amen. If all of us love the Lord and we love one another, it's a wonderful feeling. You are in the environment of where God can bless His people. You are in that atmosphere of where God will pour out His blessing. Amen? His anointing. If you look at the great characteristic of the church in the New Testament church, that's why it exploded tremendously. There was such a wonderful unity among them. Amen? And thirdly, there will be revival. Revival! You know what revival is? It's not just getting the roof off when we say, God, forgive me. That's getting right with God. But revival is also getting the walls down. The things that separate us. Amen. Getting right with one another, that friend, is revival. Forgive us, that's getting the roof off. As we forgive one another, that's getting the walls of division down. Amen. And when we begin to do that, there'll be a release, there'll be a reconciliation, there will be revival. And I believe that if we all just die to our pride, die to ourselves, and begin to confess our sins, not only to God, but our sins towards one another, and love one another as God has loved us, forgiven us, I believe there'll be a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your family, in our church. Amen. And it is the cry of my heart, and I pray that that's the cry of your heart also. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, let's forgive one another. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stand up together and just worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. As we prepare our hearts to come to this communion table, let's just deal with our hearts. Let's ask the Lord for forgiveness. How about our unforgiving spirit? If you have something in your heart against another person, release that person. And you will be set free. Hallelujah. Father. Oh God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive your people, oh God. We've offended you in many ways, oh Father. We have harbored bitterness, anger against another people, another person. Forgive us, oh Father. Reconcile your people, not only to you, but reconcile us. Help us to reconcile towards one another, O God. O God, breeds broken relationships. You're speaking to us right now, Lord. God is speaking to you, God is speaking to me. So just pour out your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Urabasakanda rabakasukurabakanda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We repent of our sins, Lord. We repent, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing. Thank you, Lord, for that restoration. Thank you, Lord, for the release. Thank you, Lord, that revival, oh God, in our hearts, in our families, in the lives of your people, Father. Hallelujah.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled The Freedom of Forgiveness. If you'd like to join our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Barry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. Our email is contactus@FFWCChicago. And you can reach us online and on our website, FFWCChicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.